You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the crime weaver, keeper of the raccoon gang.
Yeah.
Getting into identity theft.
Yeah, okay, great.
That's just trying my hand.
That's the new crimes.
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
Figured I'd see how that works out
seems
for me.
Seems like, I'm not saying they deserve it, but they...
I mean...
They invited it.
It's like fidget spinners.
Yeah. Just a thing to try on for a while.
Somebody sees one and then it's a fad.
Yeah.
They have been causing a lot of discord in the Discord.
I'm Gordy, the bacon in the fridge for all who cry out in hunger. Thank you, Caden Lewis.
And thank you, Gordy, because every now and then I do cry out in hunger, and bacon is the best way to answer that.
You know, I'm not crazy on bacon.
Me neither.
It's fine.
You two drink Soylent as, like, primary meal sources. I offered to make you a hot dog, no effort or cost to you, and you chose, like, fake nutrient drink named after...
People.
Yeah.
I feel like my slurry had more nutrients in it.
Probably.
Now, I cannot eat that hot dog.
No, I didn't offer Gordy a hot dog.
So that is my reason. Nor can I eat anything else. I mean, I like bacon. I'm not crazy about bacon.
I mean, bacon doesn't rule my life or anything, but I am very happy to see it.
I would take eggs before a bacon.
I would take eggs before bacon.
See, I have to
near 100% of the time.
To like eggs. I have recently learned, like, hard-boiled eggs are good if I put a lot of seasoned salt on them. So seasoned salt is good, and hard-boiled eggs are a carrier.
Well, that's the end of our first episode of the Breakfast Fancast.
What breakfasts are in, what breakfasts are out.
Danishes, always in.
Can't eat them. What else you got?
Toaster strudel?
Can't eat it. What else you got?
Toaster strudel's like a Danish that you can put in your freezer. It's so good.
This is a new segment where we try to crowdsource things that I can eat because there are so few of them left.
Apple slices and peanut butter.
I can, but I am regularly in contact with someone who would die. So I tend to just avoid the peanuts.
It's fair.
Apple slices and honey.
Yes, I'm not a baby, so that seems okay.
Like
honey
mushed,
is poisonous to babies.
Mushed up carrots.
Did you know this?
Honey is poisonous to babies,
right?
I don't know that poisonous, but they probably shouldn't eat them.
But it's bad.
They also can't eat sushi. Like, they're still figuring out their digestive system and how to hold their head up.
Did I make this up?
No, you're not supposed to feed honey to babies.
Honey is
poison. I'm about to be an aunt in, like, a few days.
Who tried?
Everybody.
And why?
To give honey to a baby?
Yeah.
Like, seems like a reasonable thing to give a baby.
Like a spoonful of honey?
They can't choke on it. It's antibacterial. It's a fun way to get them adjusted to sugar.
I guess I'm more confused by sushi.
It's a food that's been around.
Sushi, I don't understand giving your baby. That is like...
It's
not
a waste of good sushi.
Yeah. Also not like the easiest thing to eat as an adult because there's sometimes a lot of steps that go into sushi.
Yeah.
So yeah. Not a good food for babies.
And that concludes episode one of our baby podcast.
I am about to be an aunt to a baby, so there might be more episodes of that one. Man, whatever happened to the podcast we were going to do where we raised a fictional child?
It died.
We're really bad at raising the baby and the concept.
We remembered that we already had one that we all did, and then we started a Dragon Ball one, and three seems like a lot.
Too many, honestly.
Well, whenever you guys are done with that one.
Check back in 2020.
All right, well, I guess we should do this show. Gordy, what do we do on this show? Remind me what my job is.
Carmen is going to read to Tyler and I a strange... fairy tale, one that we have never heard before, and we hope it's one that some of you have never heard before. Each week we read one of these stories and we try to continue the folklore oral tradition, adding our own plot twists and commentary and trying to update the fairy tale for a modern audience.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, well, today we are going back to Japan.
What's going on over there? Of interest.
The story of Oki Islands.
Oki Island?
Mm-hmm. Islands, multiple.
Mm.
Plural.
Because what's better than an island?
More.
More islands. So this is suggested to us by Stephanie B. Thank you, Stephanie. We're going to be reading the story of Oki Islands, also titled The Legend of Tokoyo.
Of what?
Tokoyo.
Okay.
Not Tokyo?
No, Tokoyo.
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 And I'll get into like sourcing and history after Tyler does his thing.
My thing is saying executive producers, which we have one this week. This week.
Beautiful phrasing.
The episode am brought by B. B am Arne Thompson 812, The Devil's Riddle.
Elegant no. delivery all around. You smack a laptop with a book.
I put the data in.
Now, yeah, you hit my laptop with the book, and now I don't have to type it in later. It's already in there.
I got fired from my data entry job, but I thought I was doing pretty good.
Just chugging books at a computer.
They wanted it. They did not define input
mm-hmm.
quite as precisely as they needed to.
Well, the computer had a bunch of like mechanical stuff in it, and it took up a lot of space.
So you got to get that out
first.
So I took
that stuff out, and then put the books in.
Yeah, that was after discovering that the dictionary does not fit in the disk drive.
I put them in alphabetically. It did not help my case at all.
Well, thank you, B.
Thank you, B, for both your sponsorship and this lesson in data entry.
We learn something new every day. All right, so this tale is going to be sourced from sacredtext.org, their rendition of the story from Ancient Tales and Folklore of Japan by Richard Gordon Smith in 1918.
What's up?
Richard Gordon Smith seems a little bit like a jerk based on some stuff here, so.
Oh.
You might not
I don't want to claim him in my circle.
So it starts out with a lot of like background information that's not the story, so we actually have some background information to get through too. The Oki Islands are located about 45 miles from the Hoki province and were for centuries the scene of strife, sorrow, and banishment. But by 1918, they became fairly prosperous and peaceful.
Banishment?
Yeah, you know, where you send the people you don't like.
Oh, it was the subject of the banishees?
Yeah, it was like land to put them on.
They were
like
just kicking everybody out.
It's like a farm for banished people.
Gotcha.
Or a zoo. It was tough to get to. Few Europeans had visited at the time that this book was written, but among the couple that the guy knew, Lafcadio Hearn, our good friend, was one of them, because of course he was. This Richard Gordon Smith fellow sent Oto, his Japanese hunter. I don't know what he means by Japanese hunter. Is this a hunter like of animals who happens to be Japanese? Is this someone who hunts down Japanese tails? I don't know. Why he owns him? I also don't know. Who was very glad to return. Also not clear on what he means by that. I guess maybe the Oki Islands still sort of suck.
I don't know if that's picking up on the mics at all, but there's some kind of project going on.
I don't know if you're privy to the same noises we are and can hear the gremlin crawling around in the ceiling.
It sounds like something is being sawed or a tree is dry heaving.
That was some of the sounds that the werebears were making yesterday, too, so I guess they did not finish. In the year 1239, Hojo Yoshitoshi defeated the Emperor Gotoba and banished him to Dogen Island. Another Hojo chieftain banished a different Emperor Go-Diago to Nishinoshima. The hero of this story, the samurai that you'll hear about momentarily, was probably banished by the same Hojo chieftain Takatoki. And the date of this story is around 1320 AD. So you have a little bit of context for time.
Yeah. It's right about when the Mongols super wanted to get over there, I think.
All right. You two ready to get into the story proper?
Eh.
All right. Well, you're doing it anyway, so here we go. When Hojo Takatoki reigned over the country with absolute power, there was a samurai named Oribe Shima who had offended him and had consequently been banished to Kamishima in the Oki Islands. And I apologize, Japan, if I am butchering these pronunciations, which I may very well be. This is according to the relator of the story, so that fellow he mentioned in the beginning. But Richard thinks that it was really Nishinoshima that he was banished to, but later in the footnotes takes that back and says, since writing this, I have found that there is a very small island called Kamishima between the two main islands of the Oki Archipelago. So dude didn't do his research completely. The guy he sent to get the story comes back and says, and this is what it is. He's like, nah, you're wrong.
How much narration infighting are we in store for?
This is really the last of it before Richard Gordon Smith takes a backseat to the story itself. He just had to get his little jab in there.
Authors, when you make a decision, stick by it.
Even if it's wrong.
Don't second guess yourself in the copy.
Or edit. Like, if you found that you're wrong.
Right, like, make an edit and do that. Don't like...
Put it in the footnotes.
Yeah.
Or on Twitter later.
Right.
Footnotes of these old books is the Twitter of the time. Arebe had a beautiful daughter who was 18 years old, and the separation caused by the banishment was miserable to both of them. Her name is Tokuyo.
Tokuyo?
Tokuyo.
Tokuyo.
Yes, there's an extra O in there. She wept all day and sometimes all night until she was unable to stand it and decides to try and reach her father or die.
What?
She's going to try and find him, or she'll die in the process.
Why didn't she just get to go?
She wasn't banished.
Couldn't she do a banishing thing?
Self-banish?
I don't know if she's in contact.
Can you not volunteer for that?
As tribute?
I mean, just like, oh, if you're going to banish my dad, I'm going to go with him. Like, would anybody stop you?
Maybe. It's like
what good is it for her to stay behind?
There's only one ticket to the island, and that is for the guy who pissed me off. You stay here and be pretty and get married or something. Whatever you women like to do.
It is sit and be pretty and get married.
That's true. That's like my three major hobbies.
I mean, I do enjoy sitting.
I don't mind being pretty.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with any of those. I'm just saying, like, of the three, sitting is probably my chief interest day to day.
As a child, she had loved to dive with the women whose daily job was to collect awabi and pearl oyster shells in spite of her high birth and her frailer body. So she knew no fear. She had lost her fear off the cliffs in her childhood. She sold what property she could, and she set out toward the provinces of Hoki, and from there planned to head out to sea from Akasaki. She had tried to persuade the fishermen there to take her to the islands, but she was almost out of money by that point, and no one was allowed to land at the Oki Islands, and she didn't have quite enough to bribe them to break the law.
How do banished people get there?
Well, there's like, the banishment boats, and then you're not supposed to visit.
You're allowed to take the official banishment ferry, but not... I mean, I guess I will defend it by saying that if it is an island where people are banished, you probably don't want boats coming and going.
Sure.
Because then they just hitch a ride back.
It does complicate things.
Yeah.
It
is maybe the same reason why I imagine you are not allowed to just cruise up to Alcatraz when it was like a functioning prison and hang out there.
I guess we'll find out why, but is her plan to collect and leave with him?
Nah, she just misses him.
So get banished. Like, get your own ticket on the banishment ferry. If you know it's a surefire way to get there.
Well, maybe this emperor dude has like really arbitrary rules for banishment, and no one knows from time one day to the next which one.
So we don't know what
we have. No, the guy offended the emperor somehow.
We don't know what the offense was.
No,
that she can't recreate it.
Apparently not. Just maybe it's not a womanly offense.
I mean,
what if she dressed up like her dad in his old clothes?
You could find a way to offend the emperor enough to get banished, I'm sure.
It seems like less of a hassle.
Just to offend him and get banished, or what? Yeah. I mean, like, just do it. Maybe the punishments are different for men and women.
That's possible, too.
Maybe instead of banishment, it's come to the palace and we're just going to pump children through you for a while.
They have different islands, like different restrooms.
Yeah, the ladies' banishment
island.
You have to go.
Island. Yeah, it's nicer and there's couches in it,
and it's perfumed.
So the rumors, the legends say
the male island just has a trough that you piss in, like a horse.
I'd Man, I don't know if everybody else spends as much time thinking about, like, optimal bathroom design as I do.
Go on.
It is not the trough.
You're willing to say?
It is not
definitively.
The trough. It is not the trough.
Listen, like, up, sheeple.
Like the right balance between lots of people pissing and just and a good experience. Like, trough is not where those two things meet.
What if it's trough with dividers?
It's still bad. Trough is bad. Let's move away from trough technology.
I want to see your propaganda posters. Trough is not the way.
I do want to see Gordy's, like, all of Gordy's propaganda for when he becomes the very specific dictator.
Trough is not the way. Space the toilet roll at, like, a reasonable distance, please. Like, nothing that your elbows are going to hit. That's really weird. The door should ideally open in both directions, so you can always just push on it with a foot if you don't feel like touching the handle.
Can we get a mechanism in there that shoots a dart that puts me to sleep so that I wake up when I'm done? So I don't have to waste time.
I mean...
You're still wasting time.
You're still spending...
I just don't want to know about it.
You're just tranquilized for the process, which is arguably worse.
Just prop me up against the wall.
Because it will probably take you
longer. Let me know when the dripping is done.
I spend probably 70 to 80% of my waking hours thinking about how I can remove, like, the bathroom process from my life completely. Mm-hmm. Or at least simplify it so much that it might as well be gone. Like, that's all I want is, like, I don't know how many minutes it is every day, but can I please just stop wasting it on this? Like, we've been doing it the same way for just thousands upon hundreds of thousands of years. There has got to be something better at this point. But there's not. Like, it has to go. It's a conundrum. That's what I'm saying.
Sure is.
Anyway, she is out of money to bribe the fishermen. They're not allowed to land on Oki Islands, and especially not to visit the banished. So the fishermen just laughed at her and told her to go home.
I'll say this about Japan. They're doing their damnedest on the bathroom front. Regardless of this story, like, they're doing the Lord's work over there on this,
this
issue.
This story has not mentioned bathrooms.
Huh?
The story didn't mention bathrooms.
I know, but it's just, like, while we're talking about Japan, like, they're at least trying. They're a civilization that is striving for something better.
There's a vision.
Walls that go down to the floor. It is time for us as an American culture to adopt, like, something that is more than just a crotch-level screen.
I did the Mythopoeic Society convention, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. And it was a very odd experience in general, because it's the smallest convention I've ever been to, and I've never vended a scholarly convention. So it was definitely more, like, rich in conversation.
You told them about us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That was my primary function of being there.
And our scholarly discussions.
Yeah, we were very scholarly. But the weirdest thing about it was that it was at the Ritz-Carlton, and I'm not a fancy person. I enjoy a Doubletree or any place that has a complimentary breakfast. But damn, the Ritz-Carlton is nice. They had...
How's that bathroom, Sitch?
Marble all the way, floor to ceiling, and the door did touch the ground.
Yeah.
It was very... Even the soap was pearlescent. And to get there, you had to pass a leather chair with a roof.
What?
Like, it just... The whole chair went around.
Oh, yeah,
like, there was,
sure,
like, a roof over your head. The vampire chair.
Like an egg?
Yeah. But leather and fancy. They also had free jelly beans and root beer floats.
In the bathroom?
No, like in the hotel.
Okay, because that's another thing. No edibles in the bathroom. You don't want... There's an air particle situation going on. That is not a good place for a dispenser.
Begging for tragedy.
They were in the lobby. You could just, like, go ask for a root beer float and then they'd hand one to you and it was amazing. It's a very weird convention. I loved it. Anyway...
obviously hands-free is good. If I ever have to turn, like, a crank to get the paper towel out, it's like three extra steps.
Instead of going home, as the fisherman laughed her,
she doesn't have one anymore.
She bought what provision she could with her remaining money, and at night she stole the lightest boat that she could find on the beach, and she scold it as hard as her tiny arms would allow across the ocean.
Seems like a banishable offense.
She did what?
Scold it, I think.
Skull what? What is this word?
She rode. She boated.
I mean, I know, like, from context, I understand, but...
Okay, so skulls are apparently some kind of boat propellant.
Skulls?
With a C. Okay.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense.
I don't know what this boat propellant looks like, but I assume somewhat similar to oars. So, the next evening, she arrived more dead than alive on shore.
It's a strong current.
The wind and the current were in her favor.
Why is she dead?
She's not dead. She's just exhausted, because she's a frail, thin, noble woman. Who,
with no skills.
Or...
She has skills.
Other than...
Not rowing for days across an ocean.
Harness the wind? No sailboat?
You still have to propel yourself if the wind doesn't take you all
just
the way.
Just use your shirt.
This is a small boat.
Yeah.
Man, I said this week I needed to get back on boat watch.
Yeah.
And I would have been one for one.
Would have been.
As soon as you said Japan, I should have known. What's her bathroom situation on the boat? Pretty bad?
Probably pretty bad.
Probably.
Pretty bad? Yeah. Goes without saying anything with splinters is a no-go.
We're talking sub-trough.
Sub-trough.
It's trash tier bathroom.
A place I never hoped to go. Or even really hear about.
She sought a sheltered spot and laid herself down to sleep, and in the morning she awoke much refreshed, ate the remainder of her food, and started some inquiries about her father.
Are fairy tale bathrooms, is that like a useful tumbler for anybody?
I'm sure for somebody. Some research student and then another fetishist. So two people.
I'm going to start doing
in-depth. And they'll get along pretty well.
Probably.
Fast friends.
I'm going to start writing in-depth bathroom reviews.
Of every story that we read?
Every one I go into.
Oh, okay.
Or just any time I go into a building, I'm just going to, like, check it out and take some pictures and write a review about it.
You could get famous for that. All right, so the first person she met was a fisherman who said he'd never heard of her father, and also maybe she should stop asking about it, because if he's been banished, continuing to ask and hunt for them will get her in trouble and maybe have him put to death.
Mm-hmm.
On Banishment Island?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Nobody's allowed to talk to each other on Banishment Island?
Yeah, you're a banishment of one.
What are they going to do to you?
Death.
Who?
Someone. Someone is there for death. There's like one executioner who wanders around waiting for the orders to death.
A terrible threat.
So you are banished and also forbidden to talk to anybody else?
Yeah, like you don't exist anymore. It is basically the Eden from Digger. Also read Digger. For God's sakes, I want to talk about that with somebody.
Why banish, then?
It seems like they should just kill them.
Banishment's a worse punishment.
Evidently not.
I guess. It seems a lot easier to just kill them. Not that I'm, like, advocating for the killing of people, but from the perspective of the Emperor here.
I mean, the Emperor doesn't have to be there. He's just...
I don't know.
They're on an island. Don't talk about them. If you do... We'll have the executioner called in for a little bit of a snip job.
So
but she's
hard
on the island now.
Yes, she's
it
on
the island. It seems very hard and very inconvenient to enforce.
She's talking to somebody on the island.
I think it's mostly just a threat.
Right, so like they would figure that out, I would think.
She's talking to somebody on the island.
Right.
Presumably they were banished as well.
Potentially. I think there are also like actual villages on this island.
That's so, even weirder.
And there's like a prison and then like people who live there.
Okay.
So it's Australia.
Sorta. Okay.
And probably the people who live there don't appreciate it being called Banishment Island and also not being able to have any contact with the shore anymore. So they're all grumpy and they're like, we'll kill him if you ask about him. We don't want these people to be around.
Japan has islands. They're not short of islands.
Correct.
I don't know. This whole like penal system leaves room to be desired.
Extremely inefficient.
I think it'd be offensive to write reviews of prisons, probably.
Are there Yelps of prisons?
It seems very insensitive.
1 star, I had to stay there for 10 years.
Especially the...
Food
they
was
wouldn't
terrible.
Let me outside.
Like food not good. Bathroom situation, very bad.
Fucking trough.
About as bad as it gets. It's a trough. It's like it's in your room. It's a nightmare.
All right, so Tokyo wandered about, subsisting only on charity with no word of her father.
1 star, spent 10 years surrounded by criminals.
very undesirable clientele.
One evening, she came to a shrine on the Cape of Rocks, so she bowed before the Buddha and asked for help finding her father. Then she lay down to stay the night there because it was a sheltered area and a peaceful holy spot.
Did Buddha, like, shake her awake and say, stop asking about him, he's banished?
Or I'll shoot him?
Is he on the same island as her now?
Presumably.
Somewhere.
So she had slept for about an hour or so when she heard, above the sound of the waves crashing against the rocks, the clapping of hands and the bitter sobs of a girl.
Is it the same person?
She looks up and she sees a beautiful 15-year-old girl sobbing bitterly in the moonlight, and beside her was a man who seemed to be either a shrine keeper.
Shrine. Those shrine creepers. Keep an eye out.
Or a priest.
Hey, you pray here often?
And the priest was clapping his hands and mumbling a prayer.
Hallowed be thy digits, girl.
When the prayer was over, the priest led the 15-year-old girl to the edge of the rocks and was about to push her into the sea when Tokuyo comes to the rescue, seizing the girl's arm just in time to keep her from going over the cliff.
Is it her from the past?
Yes, it's a time travel story. The priest looks surprised, but he's not angry or upset about her saving the girl and explains, looks like you're a stranger to these parts if you don't know about the old throwing a kid off the cliff thing we got going on here.
You don't look like much of a girl tosser.
You would know that this unpleasant business is not to my liking or the liking of anyone else on this island, but unfortunately, we're cursed with an evil god called Yufone Nushi, who lives at the bottom of the sea and demands an annual sacrifice of a girl just under 15 years of age, which must be made on June 13th, the day of the dog, between 8 and 9 in the evening.
Listen, I don't like shot putting little girls any more than you do, but it's a very fun sport, and I'm good at it.
If you gotta do it, you might as well enjoy it.
And if we don't do it once a year on this date at this time, he becomes angered, and he causes great storms that drown our fishermen. So by sacrificing one girl off a cliff, we save many others.
He makes us pee in a trough.
Our village is lined by troughs.
This has been my sad duty, the girl chucking, for 7 years.
I would say that military camp trough is probably, like, about as low as it gets, like a trough that is a hole in the ground.
But what if an evil god surrounded your town once a year with a moat of piss?
I would move, I think.
Would you chuck a 15-year-old off a cliff to keep that from happening?
To avoid a piss trough?
A piss moat, I believe, was the...
I don't know. How much family does he or she have?
Well, her sister was tossed the year before.
Not much. Yeah, well, what can you do, really?
All right, so Tokuyo listens and says, well, looks like things suck pretty much everywhere, huh?
The irony is that the 15-year-old you throw off is the one who would invent a better toilet.
Let her go, and I'll take her place, because I am the sorrowing daughter of... a samurai of high rank who has been exiled here.
Apparently, for the listeners, apparently we have a story suggestion that involves a toilet god. I don't think it's this story.
But it is now.
But yet, there is a lot of toilets in this one.
Yeah, I feel like you're not listening to what's happening because you're so caught up in toilets.
A girl got tossed in the water.
Yes.
Just like a dookie.
So that they can
into a toilet.
So that they can keep their.
It's exactly the same. We're all on the same page.
I hear what's happening. There's right. She got tossed. Wait, does that mean that they don't have to use the trough if they toss the girl?
If they toss the girl, there won't be rains and floods and drowning of fishermen. But they have to toss her on June 13th,
right,
between 8 and 9 p.m. I'm guessing that's because it's that god's birthday that day, and he wants a tasty dinner snack.
And he's only willing to wait on his reservation for so long.
Right. All right, so I came here in search of my dad, but I can't even find out where he is, so my heart is broken and I have nothing to live for. So I'm happy to save this girl and dive into the ocean instead. Also, take this letter to my father if you can.
No.
So she hands him a letter. She takes the white robe off of the younger girl and puts it on herself. She kneels before the figure of the Buddha, prays to him for strength and the courage to slay the evil Yufone Nushi. Then she draws a small and beautiful dagger.
Interesting.
Which had belonged to one of her ancestors, places it between her pearly teeth, and dives into the roaring sea, disappearing beneath the waves as the priest and the other girl look on with wonder and admiration.
Yeah.
Did she say anything cool before she leaves?
Nah, she just puts a dagger in her mouth and dives beautifully into the ocean.
Did she, like, go in backwards? Or something, like, fall backwards off the cliff?
She flipped the double birds as she went.
Yes. I was not on the lookout for a church candidate, but we have one.
Yeah, you were too toilet addled.
from toilets to Church of the Knife very quickly. But we'll see how this turns out, but I do think diving into the ocean to kill, like, an evil god with a knife, that probably qualifies as a knife miracle.
If she's successful.
Whether she succeeds or not, I don't know. I think maybe the attempt is enough.
So you're saying that a miracle is a miracle even if it didn't work, just as long as you meant for it to?
It's the whole attitude of it, right?
I don't know. Yeah,
it's like, a broad definition.
Like, is it attitude? Does it matter that the attempt was made?
It gives you points,
right? We'll see how things.
It's still
end
not
up.
A passing grade.
We'll see how things end up.
As we said earlier, Tokyo had been brought up among the divers of her own country, so mm-hmm. she was a perfect swimmer, and she, moreover, knew something of fencing and jujitsu, as did many girls of her position in those days.
Nice.
How else were they gonna kill those clams?
you gotta wrestle him to the ground and use a
sea jujitsu fishing.
You gotta armbar the clams open once you beat them into submission.
So she swam downwards through the clear water, illuminated by bright moonlight, past silvery fish, until she reached the bottom of the ocean. She finds herself opposite an underwater cave shining with phosphorescent lights from the awabi shells and pearls, and she sees what looks like a man seated in the cave.
How many girl bones are down there?
None visible. I guess it eats them, bones and all. Fearing nothing, willing to fight and die, she approaches with the dagger ready to strike, assuming that this man is Yufone Nushi.
If there are no bones and he eats them whole, does that mean that he has no toilet situation and has mastered that process?
Or he can digest the bones like snakes do.
Do snakes not output?
They don't output bones, no.
Anything?
They output poop. There's just not bones in it. Like, there's not a whole mouse skeleton that comes out of them.
I think being submerged in the trough is probably worse.
Did he build a toilet of bones?
There was no sign of life from the man, and then she noticed that it was only a wooden statue of Hojo Takatoki, the man who had exiled her father. At first she was angry, and she was ready to wreak vengeance on the statue, but then she figures, what's the use?
It's a statue.
Yeah, better to do good than evil.
At the bottom of the ocean, it's a statue. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know what more you're going to do to it.
The secret twist is that it's her dad down here.
She decides to rescue the statue, figuring that maybe it had been made by some person who, like her dad, had suffered at the hands of Takatoki. She undid one of her girdles, wound it around the statue, and took it out of the cave. It was waterlogged and heavy, but things are lighter in water than in air, so she feared no trouble bringing it to the surface. She was about to tie it to her back when the unexpected happened. Coming slowly from the depths of the cave was a horrible, luminous, phosphorescent creature, the shape of a snake, but with legs, about 26 feet long, and so, with fiery eyes.
A gecko.
Yeah, like a lizard.
Underwater, shiny gecko.
So Tokyo grips her dagger with renewed determination, now sure that this was Yufone Nushi.
For sure.
And that he was taking her for the girl that was his due for his birthday dinner. So she'd show him who she was and kill him if she could. She braced herself for combat, and when the creature was within 6 feet of her, she moved sideways and struck out his right eye. He was disconcerted and tries to go back in the cavern, but Tokyo was too clever for him. He gives up easy.
Never mind.
Blinded, I hate this.
Blinded by the loss of his right eye and by the blood flowing into his left eye, he was slow, and so the brave and agile Tokyo was able to do with him as much as she liked. She stabs him, like, she swims around to his left side and stabs him in the heart from that side.
Ow!
This isn't like the others.
This one's pointy.
This is the living and pointy.
Knowing that he wouldn't long survive that particular wound, she headed him off before he could re-enter the cave, where she might be at a disadvantage in the dark. Yofune Nushi was unable to see back to the depths of his cavern, and so after two or three heavy gasps, he died not far from its entrance.
He was banished from life.
Tokuyo was pleased at her success and thinks that she must now take the body of the god and the wooden statue to the surface just to, like, prove that this whole situation's over. You can stop girl chucking. After several attempts, she managed to do so, having been in the sea for nearly half an hour.
It's good lung capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the priest and the girl had continued to stare at the water, marveling at her bravery, and the priest praying for her soul while the girl just thanking the gods for not being the one who'd been thrown in there.
Were they watching the whole time?
Just the surface of the water. I don't think they can see down to where she was.
It wasn't like a TV show.
No. They were surprised to see a struggling body rise awkwardly to the surface. They then realize who it is, and the priest runs down to help her, pulls her out first, and then manages to drag the monster and the carved image onto shore as well. Help arrives, and all of them are carefully removed to a safe place in the village, where Tokuyo was celebrated as the heroine of the hour. The priest reported the whole thing to Tameyoshi, the lord who ruled this particular island, who then reported it to Hojo Takatoki. Takatoki had been suffering a peculiar disease that had baffled doctors for a little while.
Some kind of voodoo.
Finding the wooden statue made it clear he'd been laboring under a curse of someone that he'd treated unjustly, who had then carved his figure, cursed it, and sunk it in the sea. Which is pretty sweet vengeance. Good on that dude.
Just gonna let an evil god find you.
Now that it was brought to the surface, he felt the curse lift and gets healthier. When he hears that he was saved by the daughter of Aribe Shima, he orders the samurai's immediate release from whatever weird prison he's got him in.
Even though he definitely made the statue.
They never say who made the statue.
I have a feeling he made the statue.
The curse on the image of Takatoki had brought with it the evil god, but now that Yofune Nushi was slain, the islanders feared no more trouble from storms. Aribe Shiba and Tokuyo returned to their own country, where their people hailed them with delight, and their popularity was soon reestablished their impoverished estates, on which men were willing to work for nothing. So they got lots of volunteer labor to make them rich again. On the island in the Oki Archipelago, peace reigned. No more virgins were offered on June 13th, and Yofune Nushi's body was buried on the cape at the shrine where our story begins. Another small shrine was built to commemorate the event, called the Tomb of the Sea Serpent. The wooden statue of Hojo Takatoki, after much traveling, found its resting place at Hansoji in Kamakura. The end. Because I know you guys were really curious about the epilogue of where that statue ended up.
Next to a toilet somewhere.
You're a toilet somewhere. All right, shall we discuss?
Shadow the Colossus, but instead of a weak point you stab, there's a toilet on it that you have to climb up and poop in.
You have a Church of the Knife member. I was so excited to tell you this story because I thought that you would be like the same level of edge of your seat as soon as a knife was mentioned, but no, all toilets all the time, just pee troughs at the top of your brain clouding out all of your reverence. You two are no longer members of the Church of the Knife.
Were we ever?
None of us are.
You were disciples, right?
I'm a fan.
None of us have done any knife shit. No, we can't be. We just invented it.
What was the curse?
Make him sick.
You just like feel like he was underwater all the time.
Probably like just a really bad head cold all the time.
His ears were always clogged up.
Every now and then, bright glowing lights on June 13th as a phosphorescent serpent passed by.
The samurai did it.
How long was he sick?
Didn't say. Just kind of a retrospective, like. Whoops, turns out he was ill.
Was it about as long as the samurai was banished for?
You'd think that they could kind of pin it down by like, oh, how long have you been sick? 2 months? Okay.
Who did we banish around
like,
then?
Yeah, who did we do what to 2 months ago?
Well, it sounds like he just sort of arbitrarily banished a lot of people. So it makes more sense to me that this was done by some artist he banished, because I don't think statue carving is a skill or trade typically pursued by samurai.
But that makes him a more interesting character.
Does. It's, you would think that like some note would have been made about that skill.
Maybe he just wasn't like showy about it. like he can do it, but he's not. He doesn't make a big deal out of it.
He just makes his statues, throws them in the ocean, and curses people.
He just like makes his own statues for fun. He doesn't. It's not like a whole thing.
Did it note how good the likeness was?
I mean, she recognized it as soon as she was close enough to discern that it was not a living person.
Give me a scale from Michelangelo's David to that Cristiano Ronaldo statue.
I think we're closer to a David on this one.
Could it be that the samurai carved a gift statue that displeased the man and got him banished?
Maybe.
So then he made another one and gave it to a snake.
And you won't reject this one and banish me to an island. You'll just eat a virgin. It had been 7 years. I don't think that the samurai's badness.
Well, the snake was terrorizing for 7 years.
Yeah, the snake was attracted by the cursed statue.
It was attracted by it?
Yeah, that was the reason the snake came. So 7 years ago, he banished some artist / voodoo priest.
So evil things like other evil things?
Yeah, they're like that makes, bros. Like
that makes sense. They don't get jealous of which of them is more evil.
No, it's like, I mean, it's like the broken window theory.
Huh? What do you mean?
Like, they did that experiment where they put a car with a broken window in a neighborhood and then saw a crime increase as a the correlation to that. So it's like that. Like, they see, oh, here's this evil thing. It's like a broken window. I'm going to crime this up, too.
I think he just hung out near the statue so that when people, like, if anybody came and said, like, oh, wow, that's, like, that statue's pretty evil, he could just come out and see, be like, oh, really?
Surprise.
Take a look at me.
So he was more evil by comparison, and maybe he was, like, less evil than other gods because he is a giant wimp, and so... Like, hanging out with the statue made him feel stronger.
It's like hanging out with a slightly uglier person.
Yeah, this is not to denigrate her accomplishment of killing the snake monster, but it didn't really put up much of a fight.
It seemed
kind of easy to do.
It seemed to, like, want to just leave.
It was very much that scene in Secret of Kells.
I'm sure she is very capable. She is presented as such.
It was that scene if the thing in Secret of Kells gave up immediately.
I mean, it was still over pretty quickly and pretty easily, though. Like, but, for how much they had amped up that fight.
But 7 years.
In the movie?
Yeah. It was kind of an anticlimactic.
7 years and nobody else tried?
Yeah, like 7 years of being terrorized.
Nobody else gave it a go?
Like, by
nobody
this thing.
Else could be underwater for 30 minutes without drowning.
None of the other virgin girls?
No, I don't think that's a common skill.
Holding your breath for that long?
Yeah.
Should be. Should teach that at court.
No other clam women?
I don't think the clam women came here. The clam women were from her home.
Tell you what, you take one of their famous toilets, turn it upside down, you got a diving bell.
You do have that.
There's your problem solved.
Whose famous toilets?
Japan.
This village's that's got like all the weird toilets out around it or something.
Yeah, remember.
Remember how they've got, it's like a trough that overflows or something.
Remember it was like a museum for toilets.
Because it's cursed, maybe.
Remember the cursed toilet museum?
Was that not...
We just read the story, Carmen.
Wasn't that pretty prominently featured? Cursed Toilet Museum is what I could call when I drive up to visit my parents. I take some small highways through western North Carolina, and there are a few places, like, there aren't that many places to stop along the way, and many of them I would categorize as a cursed toilet museum. That is the lowest rating I can give.
Carmen, I feel like you read a different story than we did.
Yeah, I think so too. I read a cool story about a Church of the Knife member who fucking fought a god, no matter how wimpy he was, underwater with a knife.
I mean, no, her accomplishments earn her a place.
Yeah, she did have a knife miracle.
In the church.
Are less excited about that than piss troughs.
You missed the part where Scooby and the gang discovered that it was Pissy Tim.
who had carved the statue to summon the evil god in the first place.
Whatever title we get for this one is going to confuse the person who suggested the toilet god one, get them very excited, and then disappointed when they realize. Maybe,
well, imagine when we actually get to it.
Maybe we should title this one, not the one about the toilet god. colon just has lots of toilets.
colon cursed toilet museum.
I mean, cursed toilet museum is a contender for the title for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I am certainly excited to add to the ranks of the Church of the Knife. It is always an exciting thing to have happen. Are we in agreement that she qualifies?
Yeah, what did she do? She broke a toilet or something?
She took...
I hate you.
She took the place of the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like, volunteered to go.
Swirled down the drain.
Dove down the drain of the ocean.
Found the Ninja Turtles down there in the sewers.
Killed the evil Ninja Turtle down there with a knife or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, brought a toilet back
then,
up.
Then dragged its corpse and a statue to the surface.
Hold that back up.
And it was a 26-foot-long evil Ninja Turtle that she dragged to the surface of the water.
Maybe we should just start a separate Church of the Toilet.
Did she drag it or was it buoyant?
I mean, she dragged it and the statue.
The statue was probably not buoyant.
Yeah, it had sunk.
But the
but it was wood.
I bet like a big dead gecko, probably relatively buoyant. Dead like carcasses usually float, right?
At least at first.
Yeah, you still have to maneuver that to go in the direction you want it to.
Out of the cave.
Sure. Maybe you blow air into it, and then it sort of supports itself with that very big lungful she took. Sort of underwater CPR.
Yeah.
This is a true story. I used to be a lifeguard for a number of years, and that is a technique that they teach you for drowning people. You go down there, you kiss some fresh air into them, float right up. You don't have to do anything.
Then you just leave them on the surface and go get a Capri Sun?
You swim, take a big lung full of air, swim down, blow it into their lungs, just make sure their mouth stays shut, maybe go up for another one if you need it. They'll float.
I don't know if this is coming through in the recording, but I'm kind of on the tired side this week.
Yeah.
So I was only like maybe half listening to what you said.
Yeah.
And what I heard was that as a lifeguard, you were taught a technique for drowning people.
No, the opposite.
Which seemed counterintuitive.
Nah, the opposite. If they are drowning, you go down, blow some fresh air into their lungs.
Blow them up like a balloon.
Are there death guards that you need to look out for as a lifeguard?
Yeah, is that the antithesis
like your
of a lifeguard?
Rivals
I'll tell
in
you
the
what,
pool.
It would have made some of those days a lot more interesting because there was like the occasional day where it's like five old people just playing like frisbee in the shallow end, but you have to watch them because you can't just like you can't not look at the people in the pool because it's your job, but like they're just standing there like. Lazily throwing a frisbee back and forth.
So if there was like an active agent who was trying to drag people to the deep end and down below that you had to harpoon.
If there was some kind of pool monster, that certainly would have made it more exciting.
I see.
Usually you want that job to be boring, though. When it's exciting, something bad is happening. Do we want to change anything about this story?
No, that's fine.
I don't have a lot of changes.
No, it's a pretty good Church of the Knife story.
It's the problem with Japan.
Yeah, you guys ruined it pretty well. Like, the story itself was fine before you two touched it.
What?
I don't think that we ruined it.
What gave you the impression we would try to do anything else?
Even with the bullshit that we added, I feel like it just has bounced off of the story.
The story is toilet proof?
Yeah.
I feel like the knifeness does shine through all the toilet nonsense that has been piled on top of it.
We tried so hard and you still told us a good story. Which is the problem with Japan. They just get it done and right the first time.
So traditionally, you do have to make the nonsense.
Traditionally a good area for stories. Japan.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
They haven't failed us yet.
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Just for instance.
Need I go on? I mean, two for two right there.
Uh-huh. That's a trend.
that's a trend. You throw a Dragon Ball in there. Yeah, it's a hat trick. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would really change. I want to know what the samurai did to offend... What's his name? Should we speculate?
Sure. What could a samurai do that would offend? Is he a lord? What even was he?
He had land and stuff. Like, they had estates.
Maybe he, like, skimped on his taxes.
That It's the guy who kicked out the emperor, so I guess...
A usurper.
Yeah, and he ruled with an iron fist, so I guess the dictator. Thank you, Moondom.
I mean, that's where my imagination went immediately.
The butts?
Mm-hmm.
Did he install bad toilets in the palace?
So toilet installation is one of a samurai's duties.
I'd watch the anime Toilet Samurai. Add that one to the document.
He mooned him, but it was a misunderstanding because he was just trying to use a good toilet.
He was experimenting with a new toilet design that brought a lot of fresh air into the system.
I think I'm going to take mercy on our listeners and say that's it for us this week. So thank you, B, for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, B. You got a Church of the Knife member in yours.
You did.
And that's it.
I would.
Nothing else happened this week.
I would recommend focusing on that part.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bye. Stephanie B, for introducing us to this story. So sorry about my colleague's entire existence and being and the results thereof.
Let us know how interested you are in toilets.
Thank you to all of our patrons who keep the show running.
Thank you. Seems like a weird week to ask, but like share the show with somebody.
Maybe a different episode.
It depends how into toilets they are, but yeah, maybe pick your favorite. Yeah, maybe it's this one. Maybe it's not.
If you know a plumber or a sewage, like a sanitation worker, like send it this way.
Or somebody who's into obscure curses.
Either way, just share this show with somebody. Tweet about it. That'd be really great. That helps us to grow a lot. So yes, thank you, patrons. Thank you to our top tier patrons. Boy, some of you are trying to stick to this, but I know who you are, so it's not going to work again. Thank you, Whisper Biscuit, Sarah, Robert, Jeremiah, Roast Rabbit, Haley, Timothy, Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Robert. And Heather. I'm interpreting some people who have stuck with the Whisper Biscuit label.
I see.
So I'm translating as I go.
Real time.
You guys get one. Cut your nonsense. The Discord has become very Discord lately.
Discordant.
Yeah. Gave them a taste of power, and they've run wild with it.
Yeah, we'll see how they like this episode. this can be a permanent fixture.
This is specifically a punishment for the last episode.
If you feel like getting in on the weird action going on in there, check us out on Patreon. You get access at the lowest reward tier.
I feel like we absolutely earned it this week.
You're gonna have a lot of toilet-related titles to vote on. which is a thing you can do. You can help vote on titles for episodes.
You can't for this one because you won't be hearing it before you subscribe.
In theory.
Theoretically, yeah. All right. Thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Urinal Cakes.
Thank you, Urinal Cakes.
It helps.
Thank you, Bathroom Attendant Creepy Towel Person.
Thank you, Creepy Towel Person.
Just let me do my thing, please.
Thank you, Shrine Creeper.
Thank you, Shrine Creepers.
Thank you, Shrine Creeper. Thank you, Good Toilets.
Thank you, Trough.
No.
No, get out, Trough.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thanks,
Thank
yonder,
you,
toad.
Yonder Toad.
No thanks, Hither Toad, the Trough of Toads.
Hither Toad should get pissed on.
We're What the Folklore. That's, for whatever reason, how it works. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.